Hi, this is Antoinette Tone Houston, STEM and music influencer, and you're listening to Cut to the Chase.
Stepping out beyond boundaries takes courage and the ability to dream. We are excited to share our new audio podcast called Cut to the Chase. The structure of this podcast embodies open dialogue with friends, family, and professional colleagues, talking about things that impact our ability to thrive. We hope that you will join our unscripted, unbridled podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Cut to the Chase. Yeah, I know for those of you that are saying another episode, how many episodes is this guy going to do in a single week? Well, guess what, peeps? Today's Friday, and I will just have to say that our featured guest today is a trailblazer. She is a musician. She is, before I get into all of that, let me just rile back a little bit, because, you know, I think when I introduce her and I point you guys to how to get in contact with her and check out her music and all these other great things, you guys are going to be in total agreement with me. And so today we're going to feature episode 93. Yep. I know you guys are all going, man, he's blowing through these. Yep. Episode 93. And we're going to talk about opening the door. This is something that our featured guest and myself talked about in our discovery call. And I think it's something that's going to really resonate with people based on where she is in life and how she sees things kind of unraveling and unfolding right in front of her eyes, you know, as well as society and other things that are going on. And so basically, the definition of opening the door is to make something easier or to make likely things happen. And so I'm going to basically kind of pause right there and say that today, when you close the door to the past, open the door to the future, take a deep breath, step on through, and start a new chapter in your life. And it's rather intriguing because of the simple facts of our featured guest today basically has many, many talents, many traits. Her career span has spanned across entertainment and technology. And yeah, I know we all say, those are two very, very close things, but in some aspects, they're really, really not. She's a native of Chicago. She's an American entertainer, artist, who has rapidly changed the game for female MCs in the hip-hop soul arena. She offers a variety of talent in addition to rapping, ranging from lyrical storytelling and writing to performing arts. Rather than adhering to the pressure of a lot of women in the music industry, she basically has put forth her experience and wisdom, not in a superficial glitz and glam, but in an affectionate way, which basically allows for her to call herself Young Flame. In the spoken words of the community, of her consistent efforts to ignite and spark emotions with her audience, she is now using the same spark as a gift, lyrically, wordsmithing, hip-hopping, and a soul entertainer all combined. But that's not it. That's just her music side. She's also helped blaze STEM trials as a leader and practicer of user experience engineering for over 18 years while continuing to make her mark as a professional, internationally known recording artist, author, host, model, actress, and poet. And I'll tell you, people, the list of accolades just keep getting better. And so with her work in Stem Cell has afforded her the opportunities to live and mentor in and out of the United States. She's also been highlighted on network TV shows such as PBS Economical Outlook and NBC The Steve Harvey Show. Within the entertainment area, she's also accomplished hip-hop soul artist, with spoken word roots. She has led arts and stories through youth and women organizations as a motivated speaker, facilitator, and many, many, many more things. Her music career has expanded between house, jazz, neo-soul. She's even been nicknamed the Jay-Z of poetry from TV One Network and landing her own commercial on behalf of My Black is Beautiful Procter & Gamble campaign filmed in a one take. So I absolutely adore our featured guests. And before I continue with her accolades, I told her earlier, I said, you know, I had to do some background. I had to do a little bit of history on her. And so I went out and I pulled all of her albums and I started listening to some of her music. And I'll tell you, some of the things that I heard were just, they were just so compelling. And she's got a new album out right now, which I believe just dropped in February. And there's a couple tracks on there that really, really resonate. One is basically along the lines of I Can't. Another track is called You and I. And so without further ado, I'd like to introduce our featured guest, Antoinette Toni Houston. Do you have any opening remarks?
You know, you have said a mouthful. And I am definitely appreciative of all of the positive sentiments. It's a pleasure to be on you guys' show today. And I look forward to this conversation we're going to have. But no, I mean, you've said a lot and I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. I mean, you know, we try here at Cut to the Chase to ensure that we do our research and that we provide the proper introduction. And I think after 93 episodes, I hope that my gift to introduce people never wears out, because that is something so compelling and it's so inspiring to make sure that our listeners truly understand where we're coming from. So let's jump into our questions, you know, cut to the chase. You know, we're going to talk about some things that are so important to you, because like I said earlier, you are a trailblazer, not only in a musical sense, but also in a technological sense. And so when we talk about opening the door, you know, let's look at your technological side, because you have really, as I call you a trailblazer, you have really set the stage in the early inception of really being kind of the only minority woman in the STEM trials, leading kind of the user experience engineering. Help my listeners understand a little bit about that.
So my background is what's called human-computer interaction. Mm-hmm. And I end up getting my degree from DePaul University here mm-hmm. in Chicago. And what was interesting was that when I first got my, you know, degree and was, you know, jumping into the workforce, everyone said, oh, well, you need a PhD in that field to even get any, you know, sort of job. And I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm. So, but it was really difficult, right? It was really difficult to get into what I would call the quote unquote true space of HCI. And at the time, it wasn't even called user experience. That term came a few years later. Mm-hmm. So I ended up starting my career very stereotypically as a software engineer, coder, right? Developer, right? Mm-hmm. And it bored me to tears, to be honest with you. It just bored me to tears. And I was like, it has to be like, I want to work within the field that I just, you know, trained on for all of these years. Like I want to put this theory into practice. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until like my third job with Allstate, the corporate office of Allstate in Northbrook, Illinois, where I finally was able to, you know, one, have a woman of color manager. She didn't have a background in HCI, but she was in charge of all of the quality assurance and testing division mm-hmm. for enterprise applications. And she saw that. She saw that even though she couldn't build a team around me and the work that I wanted to do, but she saw how she could utilize my specific skill set within the quality assurance area. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time where I felt like the door was open for me, right? In that particular regard. and just seeing so many other women of color working within that HR enterprise, you know, applications area was like, wow, I never saw that before, right? At Motorola, at some of my other companies before I got to Allstate, it was mainly, you know, Caucasian men and then Asian men, right? Wasn't a lot of women at all. So, you know, when I finally got to see that, it was like, it changed me. It really did. And so from there, I ended up taking a position where I worked for the CIA. And so I moved. I packed up everything. I left Chicago. I went to DC. And, you know, I'm 25 years old. I'm like, what do I know about the world? I didn't really know anything about what that experience with the agency was going to be like. But I knew that I hadn't met anyone within my peer group that had that experience that could say that they, you know, had done mission focused work like that. So I had to, again, open that door, right? From within my family, from within my, you know, my peer group, to be that first one to say, hey, I want to have this experience. And it scared me to death, right? So now I'm in DC, I'm working for the agency. I'm still working within a testing group, but again, I'm a team of one that has this specialty of human factors and user experience. And so it was one of my main, you know, goals or whatever was to help start up a PM / human factors division within their testing group. So I ended up supporting covert agents and using this, you know, specialty of UX to help build designs for them to use. That's all I can say about that. But that for me was so poignant because, again, didn't see a lot of, you know, people of color. I saw a few, but definitely weren't within UX. So, again, I was still kind of, you know, kind of trying to be this guiding light for this space. And that just kind of continued until fast forward. I'm working in Sacramento, even up until a year, last year. And I was out there for 3.5 years working for Child Welfare Digital Services. And it was the first time ever that I had actually, my first manager there was not a person of color. But before I left, they ended up hiring a young lady named Lisa Basket, who, if you Google her, I mean, just from a UX perspective, she really is a trailblazer. And it was the first time in almost, you know, at that point, at the point I had 16 years experience in the field with not having a woman of color that I could say literally like is within UX, went to school for it. Like, it was like, wow, why did it take that long? Why did it take that long for me to even see any sort of semblance of myself? Right.
Yeah.
And that just changed my whole perspective. She's currently my mentor as well. And, you know, I just wanted, like, I really didn't use that experience, however recent, to say, okay, let me continue to do this in a more poignant way. So now any job going forward, even though I think I was kind of doing that before, but it's kind of hard to do when again, you're a team of one, or you're the only woman, or you're the only woman of color, or you're the only woman or person that's doing the UX. Like, it was so many years that I was just always a single digit.
Right.
Right. But since then, right, and working for who I work for now, it's like, okay, I've been able to provide more mentorship. I've been able to provide more of a space for what I would call psychological safety for women, brown and black, you know, women or black and brown men, to be able to just have a conversation with me about my experience, how I got to where I got, right? And provide that tutelage. So it's like me paying it forward to the ones that provided to me, however small that number was.
Right, right. Well, certainly thank you for sharing that, because, you know, I never shared this with you in a discovery call, and hence the reason why we're talking about opening the door is, you know, I want you to kind of just imagine for a moment, as you think about those 18 difficult years as a team of one in your industry, and for the guy that you're talking to right now at this very moment, for about 12 years in the nuclear D&D remediation cleanup project management and project controls type of ecosystem, I was that team of one. Wow. Traveling to these backwood places and doing all the great things that I had to do with the team that I work with, mm-hmm. and facing those same adversities and those same type of challenges that you dealt with also. And the one thing that I realized back then, besides having the faith and the nurturing of understanding that, number one, you're kind of brought in because you have that skill and that vision, even though you've got the stigma of you are different, you know, and you feel that, you know.
Right.
But yet when the door is open, you kind of have to put that aside and allow for the true nature of your intellectual properties, who you are as a person, how you carry yourself, your charisma, your pride, and your professionalism, and you push all that other stuff away. And a lot of times what we find, at least what I found, is the fact that when, you know, our community says we have to work harder, we have to do this, we have to do that, is because that weight of what we're trying to carry, because we feel like all eyes are on us when that door is open and we're trying to open it for others, we put so much weight on ourselves to make sure that we succeed and that we're different than what they kind of cast us at. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really a difficult situation that you're dealing with. And the thing that kind of leads up to what I want to say here is sometimes you just have the trust in the weight. And in your case, it was 16 years. In my case, it was 12, you know, and it's very heart-wrenching to think about these things, but there are people that are out there that are experiencing the exact same things that we've gone through in our professional career, and they're going, oh my God, am I the only one that has gone through this? I mean, why is there no one else that I can relate to? You know, I mean, you go out to dinner when you're traveling, at least in my case, sometimes if I didn't have other people working with me on the job, you're by yourself. And sometimes I found myself in vicarious places where I was a part of the 1%, you know, and you're going, okay, order a pizza, hit Subway's in on the way to the hotel or something like that, because, you know, it's just the way you felt. You didn't feel comfortable, you know, in that environment. And so the thing, as we continue to talk about this subject and the importance of it, is that when you finally found what I would consider to be that you had to embrace the uncertainty of who you were and all the different adversities that you were dealing with, particularly within the first 16 years, help us understand mentally, did that strengthen you? Did that continuously provide a sense of a burden to you? Or what was your thought process during that time? Because it almost sounds like you were thirsting to find some satisfaction that was never really presented to you in any capacity.
I think it's a sense of, so initially I felt very isolated, right? Mm-hmm. I believed in the quality of my work and the value of my work, but that I was providing to teams, but it was tough just not having just one other person from a UX perspective. Now it doesn't even matter person of color, just mm-hmm. a UX perspective to be able to bounce ideas off of from a research perspective or a design perspective, right? I mean, it's just, it's some biasness that comes in when you are just kind of serving as a team of one. And so initially I was fighting against that. As I got more mature in my career, I ended up embracing that. And so I deemed myself specialist at that point. Right. Mm-hmm. Even if it wasn't in my title, it was still the fact that I'm on a team where my specialty, right, is user experience, UI design, UX design, UX research, user research, whatever you want to call it. Right. Mm-hmm. These are areas that I have been trained in, that I have a passion for, and that I can conduct to make these products and services better. So when I changed that lens, right, then it was like, okay, I didn't mind it. Like it almost became a shield for me. Where as I started interviewing for, you know, for other jobs and just continue to move my career forward, I would ask, you know, is this a team of one position where I kind of can set up how research and design is done, or am I coming into a team that's already there, et cetera? I was asking those questions, not so much because I necessarily wanted a team, but just so I knew what I was getting into.
Sure.
And then probably the latter 4 to 5 years, that has shifted again. So now, you know, with working with that child welfare project, that was the first time I had actually paired UX with social services in that way. And so ultimately, you know, in essence, help save children's lives. And it was such a passionate sort of initiative for me. And that was a huge, we had a anywhere, you know, 20, 25 person team at one point. And I, not necessarily the first time, because when I worked for Scripps Networks, I did have a small team of 3 to 4. I was the only person of color, but still, I at least kind of had some semblance. And I had a Black man as a manager, which was like, whoa, right? Mm-hmm. But CWS stands out because that was the biggest team I had ever worked for, multidisciplinary across research, design, and development. But I was still ultimately a team of one within this 20-something person team. Mm-hmm. And I found that though I liked some of the autonomy that gave me, I liked teaming. I liked effective teaming, right? And so I like being able to bounce those ideas and have a sense of safety around being able to speak my mind and disagree with folks and it still be okay. Mm-hmm. So now moving forward, you know, I find myself, I'm still working within consulting for one of the top, you know, cloud companies in the world. And it's interesting because, you know, you get on these small teams, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And but you're not the sole UX person, right? I still may be the sole woman. I still may be the sole person of color, maybe, but I'm not the sole UX person. And there's a value in that, to be able just to have a variance of opinion that grows you as an engineer, as a consultant, as a UXer. And so it's value in that. So it's funny, the last 18, 19 years I've shifted a few times, but I've shifted based off of the experience that I had and based off of the growth that I had during that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we thank you for sharing that with us. I mean, it definitely provides the insight, you know, to who you are and based on the triumphs and the successes that you've gone through. But I did hear something. I heard somebody. Did you hear somebody knocking?
I didn't.
You didn't hear anybody knocking? I hear somebody knocking in the studio. Oh, they're saying, hey, we want to talk to Young Flame. Can we talk to Young Flame? Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we might have Young Flame on the podcast right now. Let me see. Young Flame, are you there, Young Flame? Where are you? Young Flame, are you there?
I'm here. That's funny. I'm here. I am here.
Wow. We have the Chicago Native American artist, Young Flame, on the podcast right now. Wow. Let's check that out. Young Flame, we hear you just dropped the new album. Tell us about it.
Okay, so the one thing I will say, so Young Flame is my spoken word poetry moniker.
Okay.
Tone is my hip hop soul moniker. Right?
Alrighty.
I just want to make that clear, because if somebody goes looking for Young Flame, they're gonna find, you know, a different type of content than they would if they just are looking at Tone Houston. So yes. Me, Tone. I have two hip hop soul albums, and my most recent one is actually titled IB, and I released that in like a little over a year ago, right? You and I song that you spoke about, you know, earlier, as well as I have a song called Flippin' that I recently did but released the video for last summer. That's off of the IB album. But I have a mm-hmm. new single that's going to be off of a new EP that's called Unapologetic. And that's where it has the hook around the I Can't, but the song is called Unapologetic, and that is coming probably, hopefully, before the end of summer. So I'm still marketing and promoting the IB album, and then I'm now going to be marketing the new single, Unapologetic, which officially releases on the 16th of February. So I'm really super excited. The video is going to drop on the 23rd of this month, so all within Black History Month. And I'm just really excited about the messaging and the content that Unapologetic is resonating.
That's exciting. That's exciting. I apologize for catching you off guard like that, but you know, that's just a part of the unscripted piece of what we do here on Cut to the Chase.
I love it.
And so, you know, as we're talking about opening up the opening the door, you know, there's something very unique in the context of your many, you know, formidable talents is the fact that you are in this position where you have the ability to enjoy the beauty of becoming, because you have really cultivated more of an engineering, you know, analytical take in your technological career. Mm-hmm. And then you have this whole different genre of just this lyrical wordsmithing flow. And I'll tell you to our listeners, I mean, dude, I had it pumped up in the studio. In the Yogi Bear and Boo Boo studio today, we were rocking it out. Okay. And that You and I track was tight. And the I Can't track is even tighter. So, I mean, hey, go check it out. That's all I can say. But certainly when we talk about blending those two together, you know, that is something that, you know, in one extremity, you have to have a kind of a professional aspect. And then, of course, now on the entertainment, you have to have a little bit more of a vulnerability. And so, you know, help our audience understand how are you kind of mixing those two things together? Because they're both opening up a very promising career path for you at this point in your life, but they have kind of a different vibe as to how people portray and how they see you.
Right. And that was something that I used to shy away from, right? So I think I was mentioning to you when we had spoken earlier mm-hmm. about, you know, my STEM family knew for a long time, knew nothing about my entertainment family and vice mm-hmm. versa, right? Mm-hmm. So I would literally be, you know, studying a part for a play that I'm in or improv show or something like that. And then all of a sudden I would say, I have to get to work or do something. And they're like, oh, wait, what do you do again? And as many times as I try to explain what UX is and what, even to today, my family and my entertainment family are like, yeah, we just know you work with computers. We don't really know exactly what to do. That's fine. You're not asking us for money, so it's fine. So I'm like, okay.
Right.
So, but I think the semblance that I've always found within both is there's a creative element
mm-hmm.
in both,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, there's, you know, is some people shy away from research and data and analytics or whatever, but there's a creative palette that I've always found within research in terms of trying to find patterns and themes to data and how to make that make sense to a group of designers or developers to create software and products and services that are going to be used, that are going to be valued. I get excited about that. It's the same with music or, you know, a song that I'm writing or even a poem that I'm, you know, writing where, you know, what story am I telling, right? Mm-hmm. I'm telling it in a different way, but there's still a story that I'm trying to tell with my lyrics, with my life experiences. I'm still trying to tell a story with on the STEM side, right? I'm still trying mm-hmm. to show, you know, my clients how they can use whatever software, whatever features, whatever services to make their users' experience better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the line, right? The creative, how can I make this palatable for a number of different people, right?
Right.
Whether that's the ears of a listener or whether that's the, you know, experience and feature set for a group of users.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, very, very well described and spoken, because when nothing is certain, anything is possible. And I think you're really kind of a definition of that in opening up the doors, because, you know, your trailblazing aspect of what you did on the STEM side and the user experience engineering, that in itself, you know, for 18 years is kind of something that, you know, there's no textbook that can teach you that.
Right.
You know? I mean, that's real world experience. And then, of course, you know, like I said, I mean, you might think I'm overly giddy, but I'll tell you, man, those tracks are slamming, man. I mean, I'm waiting for you to send me an autographed track. I mean, that's how good that track was.
Nice.
But anyway, you know, as we're getting close to our time here, and this has been a very good conversation and really kind of diving into allowing for our audience to understand who you are, kind of what makes you tick, and then the emphasis of really the doors that you had to go through in the aspect of being a successful, empowered artist, professional, you know, engineer. I mean, the list of accolades just go on and on. And, you know, our hats go off to you. And like I said, kudos to you. And we wish you continued success on all of your endeavors. And so my last question is something that I do this to my featured guests all the time. And they go, oh my God, Greg, you know, why do you give me one of these, like these questions that really grab me? And I'm going to say, the question here is there a young lady or a young man that's out there right now that will probably be listening to this podcast? And they're sitting there saying, I love this and I love that, and I'm trying to figure out which direction should I go. And you're kind of a person that they can look at as a role model, as a mentor, as a guide, as a public figure that is basically doing what they love on both sides of the fence. Mm-hmm. What are some tidbits of information, some value-added points that you would give to those folks that are sitting on the edge of their rocker going, well, I've got to go this way, and if I don't go this way, I don't see making a career out of going the other way? What do you tell those people?
A couple of things. One, I would say, don't block yourself based off of this potential, you know, notion or fear that you can't do more than one thing, especially with, you know, if it spans across areas that are seemingly, you know, on two different scales. Mm-hmm. Skies is more than the limit, you know, but you have to know that. I always say the I in win shouldn't be small.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that again. The I in win shouldn't be small. And that's because I feel like from an individual perspective, we have to take more ownership of the journey and path that God has us on. So I'm mm-hmm. not saying that that teams are not good, especially with music, you know, in trying to make it in this entertainment game. Yes, you need a strong team. Just like within STEM, I just spoke about, you know, wanting to have, some sort of team collaboration on different ideas. That's fine. But there's still an individual component that if you take yourself out of it, no one else can put you back in it. You have to believe in yourself is what I'm saying. You have to believe in your own self-worth. And even if that's multiple lanes, try mm-hmm. it. Explore it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing beats a fail but a try.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing I would say. And then the second thing would just be kind of along that same vein, but it's this whole idea of not muting yourself. And I say this specifically for young Black and Brown women that, you know, reach out to me on LinkedIn or if I'm doing a talk somewhere, and they'll say, "Wow, like I never." You have like this confidence about you. I wasn't born with this confidence. There's nothing special about me that, you know, that in terms of how I am or the things that I've, you know, kind of overcome personally or whatever. It's nothing but God and just my faith that there has to be something bigger and better. But there's always respect level that I do come into that boardroom. I go into that studio. I go into wherever I'm at with this confidence of, I know the value that I bring. That doesn't mean I can't learn something, but I know the value that I bring, and I don't let anyone ever mute me from that. So those are the two things. Know what your individual contribution is and stand on that and never be afraid to, you know, try new things and just whatever it is you want to do, try it. Mm-hmm. Also, never have anyone else, even yourself, mute yourself.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's quote material right there. That I think we have to get that one on the Cut to the Chase quote brand. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Yeah. Well, listen, Tony, this has been great, man. I think we might have to get you back for season 5 or something. I mean, we got to figure out next time we're going to have you come in with some music on the front side or something.
I would love that. Let's do it.
Well, this has been, like I said, this has been awesome. We thank you for the time that you spent with us and being able to share some of these moments of very insightful information in order not only to encourage and promote awareness, but also to help people understand that if we do decide to pursue dual, triple, quadruple career paths, you know, put yourself out there. You know, I know that Tony knows that I've got 3 paths going right now. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a blessing, you know, just to get up and breathe and certainly be inspired by others, be inspired by yourself to continue to move forward. And so for everyone that is listening, we like to say thank you very much. As I always say, please, you know, continue to keep up the positivity. Always maintain the empathy and compassion towards one another. It is needed at this point in time more than ever. Tony, Miss Houston, Young Flame, we appreciate you being on the show.
I know we didn't do any music, but I have a small little poem, like, you know, less than 30 seconds, if you would allow me.
Drop it. Okay. Drop it. Let's go. Drop it.
Oh, yeah. I am a fraction of we, but that she be me, and I'm beautiful. The black on my back reflects how suitable. See, understand, we got to stand for our style, man. Forget the norm. Why conform? Just profile, man. You see, these words are a gift. I still smell the newness and the pride that's inside. I celebrate. You knew this. But for those who are clueless, all you got to do is keep being the beautiful, wonderful, incomparable you.
Wow. Man, I love that. I love that. We're gonna end. I'm speechless. My audience is going, that can't be. Greg's not speechless, but yeah, I'm speechless. This has been episode 93 entitled Opening the Door. Everyone, thank you very much. Happy Friday to you. Still love you. Peace out. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Cut to the Chase. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Cut to the Chase. You'll also find even more great content on our website at www.k2tcpodcast.com. Thank you and catch you on the next episode.